loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day and for this little time we've set aside. Pray that you would bless us and watch over us, that you would keep us, Lord, that you would make us bolder and wiser, that you would be the leader of our service, that you would be our company here this morning too. I know there's a lot going on in the world, Lord, and I know on top of it all, the royal family is mourning the loss of a mother and a granny and a great-grandmother, and the country, or parts of it anyway, are mourning the loss of a beloved figurehead, Lord. I pray that this would be a time when many people would consider eternity, that they would give ear to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and accept Christ as their Savior. I pray you too for all those that stand at the front of churches that lead, that are reading and teaching and preaching and singing, Lord, that these things would be coming from the King James. We love you and praise you. Pray a good hand upon Ling and Pat and Steve and Frank. And Lord, for all those that have been and gone, and Lord, we just pray for your will to be done. Love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right, we have a multitude of hymns this morning. Let's begin with 162 in the Dictus. That is to God be the glory. Hymn number 162. Didn't you see the car coming? Did you? To God be the glory.
Thank you.
quite so old, but it's still a favourite. Number 16 in the wee black books. Number 16, he lifted me. Having a little bit of conversation about learning the hymns. Obviously, it's still amusing to my wife. But, yep, we'll have to stand when we sing this. He lifted me. Hey, let's make a joyful noise.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners speak in times past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness in the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen. Amen.
Just want to remind everybody about the little green prayer list. If anybody has any prayer requests or anything that they want prayer for, please let us know. Make sure I write it down if you tell it to me, because you know the old saying, if it's not written down, it never happened. And I reserve the right to forget everything unless it's written down. So please do remember that. I believe Colin and Charlotte are going to be travelling over to England on Thursday and back on Saturday, so please do remember them. Please also sure everybody knows that Queen Elizabeth passed away there just a few days ago, and please do pray for her family. Whether you agree with the things that she said and did, and the things that the royal family said and done, they're just people like everybody else, and I am sure they're all feeling the loss of a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. So please do pray for, we'll call them the Windsor family. I don't know all of their names, but please do pray for the Windsor family at this time. I know a lot of people are touched and are feeling the loss, and I would just pray. My desire is that folks would be saved through this, and they would consider that even a monarch that was 96 years old, that reigned, I'm sure, for all of the lives of most of the people that are now gathered outside of Buckingham Palace and never known anything else, but that even someone that seems like a fixture like that, we are still only flesh, and someday we have to stand in front of our Maker. So please do pray for souls to be saved. Please do pray for the Windsor family at this time and those that are left behind. Please do continue to pray also for the Ritchie family and the Hamilton family at this time. Well, lost an aunt there just a couple of weeks ago, and families are still obviously feeling the loss, as you know. A person is always missed. You just live. You go on, and you keep going. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and He will find things that will make life worth living again, and will take away the pain. So please do pray for all those that are good. I think that's pretty much about that, unless there's anything else going on. All good, that's grand. Anybody thankful for anything? God do anything for you? Nope. Got you out of bed this morning, got you into church, it's always good. What's that?
We'll work and family
the week. Yes, indeed. Work and family. What were you going to say there, Will?
See you. Well, thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Rick.
I was going to say safety.
Yes, indeed, safety. There's a lot going on at the moment in the world, for by even passing away of the Queen. I would just say make sure you put buy an extra tin every time you're out buying something, and put it in the cupboard. Make sure it's stuff you like, because you might end up eating it by way of a few meals from time to time. But lay up a wee bit of extra. Just be careful on what you're doing. Everything's getting very, very expensive. So money's hard to come by and easy gotten rid of. Just be careful with it. I can't really think of anything else. God's been good to me. I got the grass cut yesterday. I got the plastic on my porch. A couple of wee bits of acrylic to put up on the sides. And then I will be able to do a little bit of work at thermally insulating my porch and maybe getting the turn out of it whenever the bad weather comes in. So that's me. God's been good. He certainly has. Anything else? Not a thing. Good job. Oh, yes. You were out tracking yesterday for the first time in
years.
2.5 years since before I went into the hospital.
The Lord. We've done it since then.
Did we? Did we do it once or twice since then?
We were doing that just off
Dole
Territory
about
a year ago.
Hmm. Doesn't seem like, was that with Krista?
Well.
Were we across the way?
Don't remember.
Yeah. Well, it was the same as me. You didn't write it down, did you? Never happened. Lord's also been putting it on my mind to get back out with the megaphone. So, we'll be heading back out, not this week, but the coming week or coming weekend, we'll be going out. I'll be going out anyway. Anybody's welcome to join and hand out leaflets up to the Crescent Link with a megaphone. And if the weather persists in being reasonably good, we might even get into the town, into the Diamond, and give Derry a wee bit of the gospel. I have had people come up to me and say, Pastor, when are you going out again? We really missed you preaching. In the Diamond, and then I woke up and turned over and checked the time. But need to hear, and everything else has been stolen away from folks. One thing that the world, the flesh, and the devil can never take from you, that's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So cultivate it, make good use of it. Amen. Right, let's have another wee word of prayer. Will, if you would you lead us, please?
Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the week past, Lord. Thank you for manifold blessings, Lord, and your love to us, but and also the saving grace, Lord, and your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, died for our sins, Lord. And bless us, Lord, and keep us in breath our ways, Lord, and my closer walk with thee, Lord, as we should, Lord. We're Fabs and Brown, we're Stephen Pat, Lord, and Colin as well, Lord, and Frank as well, Lord, and the mm-hmm. Fans as well, Lord. Meet their needs, Lord. Save those who are lost, Lord. And we're closer to walk right. We're Steve, especially. Medical situation, Lord. May you improve his situation. Medical situation, Lord. And give us strength and bolster him up, Lord. And heal him mightily and powerfully. And give rest and respite to Pat as well, Lord. Give for him keep us safe as well, Lord. Go for that. Go for our family this morning and the couple this morning, Lord. We use it as a way to comfort people, but also, Lord, as a way to show that there is a God and there is a Lord Jesus Christ, who died, saved you all from our sins. If only that they would accept and repent from our sins, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as He is good, Lord. See us so mighty and powerfully this day and throughout this week and throughout the coming months, Lord. And with the royal family, as it mourns, Lord, give them comfort, and the Lord, direct them to thy son as well, Lord. But Mark has come to deliver the gospel, Lord, keep them safe and well, Lord, and give them and guide them through the word that they express today, Lord, and touch our souls, Lord, and draw us a closer walk with thee and move us and keep us. Brothers, we stand on Lord Sunday, maybe Christ can then, Lord, and we will thank you for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take those hymn books out again and start singing our way through our list of praises. 300, and we're going to do I Know the Bible is True, 369. Now, this one was picked by Norman, so it's his hand you need to shake on the way out and thank him for his pick. 300, wasn't it?
No.
Yes.
You picked it last week.
Did I? Yeah. I remember going back
at it. It wasn't written down. There you go.
Do you want me to play?
Yep, play a verse. We'll play a verse. We'll just remain seated as we sing. This is relatively new. I think this will be the second run through in the first part. But I know the Bible is true. 372. 372 is let the lower lights be burned. They're both powerful hymns. Amen. 372, let the lower lights be burned. That's maybe joyful lights.
Of the lights of all.
to take our Bibles out and go to the Old Testament. We're in the book of Numbers again. The book of Numbers, this time, chapter 21. Book of Numbers, chapter 21. You'll know which verses. You might have an idea of the verses if I give you the title. The title is Look and Live. Numbers chapter 21. I want to read the first 9 verses of this portion of God's Word. Amen. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Fourth book in the Bible. Fourth book of the Pentateuch. Amen. There's going to be some names in here, not too many, but bear with me. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the people said unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, my apologies, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. That is our portion of scriptures. It's not a very familiar portion of scriptures, but the Lord actually referred to it when he compared himself to the serpent of brass. It's important. And we should see that the New Testament is in the Old Testament as well. The Old Testament still very much applies. Let's have another wee word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for preserving your word for us to this day. I know it's here after winning many victories and defeating many enemies. Please bless our reading of it and our thoughts on it this morning. And please lead us and guide us and give us what it is that we need today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Not because we deserve it, but because, Lord, because you love it. You love us, sir. You hate the sin, but you love the sinner, and I thank you for it. Please be with those that are opening their Bibles and reading passages of it or hearing some teaching and preaching of it, Lord. And please edify your people as these days grow darker and darker. We love you and thank you. We pray this in our private prayer request. Lord, we're thankful for our families and for life and for work. And we're thankful too, Lord, for just having you there at our right hand too. Bless this time in your presence and in your work, Lord. And I pray that we would go away from here suitably edified. I love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. There's only 9 verses in this little portion of God's Word, but there are many, many good thoughts, and I hope to at least round up a few of them and give them to you this morning. Just by way of a little bit of background, this is the point when the children of Israel, already in the Promised Land, are, they're dividing up the Promised Land. The Lord has given them an awful lot of land to divide between quite a few people, hardy people, warriors all. And one of the peoples that of the land, the Edomites, refused to let the children of Israel go through their land on their way to the place that God said. Now, they have just won a great victory, verses 1, 2, and 3. These Canaanites that actually attacked Israel and took some prisoners. And they went to the Lord, and it's not a bargain that they made with the Lord. They made a promise and said, if you deliver him into our hands, we'll utterly destroy their cities. In other words, we'll leave nothing of them left. Doesn't say we will take them captive, we will make them servants. He says we'll utterly destroy them. The people that would attack God's people, these ones in particular, would never bother us again. And that's exactly what they did. God delivered them into their hands and they destroyed their cities. However, because the king of Edom would not let them pass through his land, they had to go the long way around. And it wasn't just, it's not like it took 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes. You're maybe talking weeks instead of a day or two. Maybe even months as they walked around the border of the kingdom of Edom. And people started complaining, as they do. They're a little bit discouraged, even though they've just won this great victory. God has just been working in their lives, and now they have to show that they have a little bit of patience. Unfortunately, it's in very short supply, so they start complaining about Moses and God. And God sends fiery serpents, a plague of snakes, probably red, and you know what they talk about, these brightly coloured critters, don't put your hands on them or near them. The odds are they're poisonous or they bite or something like that. But anyway, there's a plague of them run through the children of Israel. I want you to notice something, that many of the people died until the people suddenly realized we've been complaining against the very person, against the very God that's saved us. Let us go to God and seek for an answer, seek for forgiveness. And whenever they go to God via Moses, Moses goes to God, and God says to Moses, make a brass serpent, put it on a pole in the middle of the camp, and anybody that looks at it will be saved. Hence the old song, Look and Live. The only thing they had to do, whenever they're bitten, and the whole idea was to chasten the nation of Israel. There's a difference whenever you're talking about nationally. People die when you're dealing with nations, but when you're talking about individually, there is a salvation. Whenever you get bitten, turn those stiff necks away from the direction that you want to be going and turn them towards the center of the camp. Turn them towards where the temple in the wilderness has been erected. Turn them towards this brazen serpent, this image. It's odd that God would ask them to put an image up, but look at the brazen version of the fiery serpent that's run through the camp. I think brass sometimes was used as a type of judgment. And all you got to do is look. It's literally easy. I'm sure it took more than 5 minutes to put the brazen serpent together. They had to get a fire going. They had to get, and maybe brass is easy enough to work with just a hammer, but they had to get molds worked, and they had to get a stick, and they had to get it fixed, and this, that, and the other, and then put it up in the camp. And all this time, people are suffering because of their rebellion, because of their sin. Moses said, you see this? When you're bitten by a snake, look at it, and you will live. And there's many, many instances in the Old Testament where the children of Israel are referred to as being stiff-necked. And it's hard to turn your neck whenever it's stiff. My neck is a bit stiff just down there at the moment. It has been for a week or two. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I come to the end of my lane and I am moving out into the road, I make sure and turn my head left and right. And yes, it can be a bit difficult, but I'm going to tell you why I do it. Because I don't want to be killed by a car doing 60 miles an hour up that road. And that's exactly the reason why God said, look at the serpent and you will live. That's all that it takes. Just look and live. There's so many lessons in that. How many times in our Christian lives have we had great victories? I can name 3 or 4 just off the top of my head. Monica, she's a great Christian victory, a prayer answered for me. Just whenever I had never thought about a wife, I was enjoying my bachelorhood. And the Lord just put it upon me one day, whenever I was in church with the ladies in the church, how am I supposed to deal with ladies about private issues if they ever want to speak to a lady about something that might be bothering them? How am I to do that? And it was after then I started praying for a wife. I did hear that sometimes there were others in the church that had been praying for a wife for me, but... And shortly afterwards, the Lord delivered Monica. I had a great list of things that basically accepted many of the fairer sex, especially the ones at work. He said she'll have to be unmarried, no children, she'll have to be saved and serving the Lord and in my church for at least a year. The only one she didn't get was being in Bethel for at least a year. But I reckon that because she'd spent about the previous 20 years on active Christian service, that I could let that one slide. My church family is an answer to prayer as well. The house that I had in Kilfenan, the company car that I used to drive, all accomplished in spite of great opposition. And even being able to serve the Lord, to be in full-time Christian service and have a roof over my head, that was an answer to prayer too. All of these things that the Lord has given me personally, and I know from talking to some of you, the Lord has dealt directly in your lives from time to time, revealing things and provisioning you with stuff. Bear in mind that the Lord said, as long as you have food in your belly and a coat in your back with food and raiment, that's all that you need. You should be content with that. There's a lot of Christians are going to find that their lives draw much closer to that than they ever thought was possible, I would say, over the next year. That's why I keep saying, buy an extra tent or put an extra thing in the freezer. The number of times we've had opportunities to speak to folks about their souls. I might be one of the few preachers in Derry that used to get to preach to thousands every Sunday. Fortunately, not very many of them listen, but I still got to preach to thousands up at the Crescent Link, and Lord willing, we'll be up there again in the very, very near future. And I got to see God work in other people's lives. And I get a thrill from that and a kick from that. And of course, the Lord has supported us and helped us through disappointments. In the words of the song, Count Your Blessings, sometimes we ought to stop and think. God has done so much for us, and yet so many times in our lives we don't listen. We outright disobey and rebel against Him. I want for you to remember, and it says in the Bible, that God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is not the God of half measures. When God starts a work in anybody's life, He is going to finish that work. He is going to convict that person. He is going to strengthen that person. He is going to chasten them. He is going to comfort them. He is going to provision them. He is going to make them bolder and wiser. He will indeed make them even more humble. He will perfect them if that person lets God. But for all of those things that we have seen and even had happen in our own lives, how many times then do we get annoyed with God when a trivial thing doesn't go our way. We lose the plot over something that's seemingly completely inconsequential. We do. And we blame God. And we blame the fact that we're living for God and we don't have X, Y, and Z at our hands, or we weren't able to get out and enjoy ourselves. We blame that for the tough times. Now I want you to just cast your mind back to the children of Israel as they went the long way round. They were fed. The Lord promised that their clothes and their shoes wouldn't wear out. They had everything that they needed to survive. But they wanted an easy life. And the life of a Christian has never been an easy life. In fact, as things move on at this moment in time, don't be looking for an easy life. You should be looking to rise to meet a more difficult life. And that should be the way for the Christian too. Sometimes it's almost like we want to hold on to that experience of victory, that feeling of, hey, I won, or God worked in my life, and goodness, it was great, and you don't really want to destroy that feeling or that experience. And sometimes when even simple things come along, it just seems like a chore. It seems beneath you or a bother to you. I once heard a minister say, the life of a Christian is a battle. Whether it's a battle with the world and the devil, or whether it's a battle against your own feelings and your own opinions, but it's a battle. And in your life as a Christian, you'll either be going into a battle, coming out of a battle, or you'll be in the middle of a battle. And it's always about the tops of the mountains being precious because you've just come out of the depths of the valleys. But the tops of the mountains are there, and these things are only a labour in this part of our lives and our eternal parts of our lives. We have glorified bodies with no sin nature, robes of righteousness. Nothing can stop us, hurt us, or annoy us. And more importantly, we get to see God forever. Now, God's greatest miracle was his labour on the cross. And he keeps that for anybody that would turn up in prayer, repenting of their sins and trusting in Christ for eternity and for right now. And if God did nothing else, that's all that he would. He doesn't owe us anything else. If God did nothing else, we might not appreciate it down here in this world. But when we get to heaven, we would definitely appreciate it. Especially when we compare it to the eternities of those who don't have Christ as Savior. But God doesn't abandon us. He stays with us the rest of our lives. Even just like the children of Israel, God was always there. He's always provisioning us, and he's always cheering us on, and he's always ministering to us. And sometimes it's easy to get used to everything going our way, especially when you see God in your life. But we have to learn that that is not always the case. Even a very good child sometimes has to be told no. They might do what their mummy and daddy says, and that's good, but whenever they're left to their own devices, maybe they're wandering about the house and they want to play with an electrical saw. And that has to be a no. Or they want to play with the carving knife. And that has to be a no. Or they want to run out and play with the ball in the middle of the road. And that has to be no. They're not evil things, but they're harmful things. And they need to be told no, even just so that they understand what it's like to be told no. To go a different way, not the way that's in their heart or mind. And it's good to learn that with God. He's not capricious. He's not whimsical. He will never do things just for the sake of doing them. The things that he does for us and with us are to teach us and to help us to grow. And many times in our lives there will be something like the King of Edom. Edom that won't give us the easy way, but it means we have to take the long way around. Norman was a bit like King Egan for the church. I expected to have the church done in 3 weeks. Norman had us going for 9 months. I guarantee you, you'd rather be sitting in this church than in my version of the fixed-up church. You just need to remember that God's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away. And even if you only go to him for a time of rest and then get up and get going, you're going in the same direction, it might be a long haul, don't complain. Don't be a moaner. Nobody likes a moaner. You know why? Because they moan and they whine and they drag people down. Just go and say to God, God. And you can't talk to God like this. The Lord said we can approach him and address him as Abba Father, Daddy, Dad. Why is it we do things that way? You could ask your dad that and you're going, like, if your wee fingers were going into the light socket and Dad says, don't do that, and you're old enough to ask, but why, Daddy? And Daddy says, well, do you see, whenever I plug my saw into that plug socket, that blade goes back and forwards like that, and that will cut through steam. Yes, Daddy, well, the power that enables that to cut through steam will hurt your little fingers very badly if you put them into that socket. Oh, Daddy, I understand. The thing that makes the saw go would hurt my fingers. So I have to avoid all of the plugs, and I have to avoid the carving knives. You can ask God these things. And sometimes you might say, well, do you know what? I don't have an answer that you would understand right now, but give it a bit. Read a bit more of the Bible. Come and visit with me a bit more often, and I guarantee you, you will grow and understand that. I used to hate learning Bible verses whenever I was in Sunday school. I remember one Sunday school lesson, which I hated being in. And I think it can't have been that difficult, although it might have been. We had to learn, say, the books of the Bible. 66 words, Old Testament. And 3 people in the 10-person Sunday school group learned the books of the Bible. And then Josie, short for Josiah or Joshua, I think, he was a Sunday school teacher. He said, very well done. And he pulled out 3 £10 book tokens and said, there you go. And he said, next week, we're going to learn the books of the New Testament. And guess what happened next week? Everybody made a good go at learning the books of the New Testament, and a couple did. And he said, well done. Yeah. There's lessons to be learned, friends. I never liked learning Bible verses when I didn't know the Lord, and I never liked learning them just for the sake of learning them. But you see, whenever I got saved, and I wanted to know what God said, and I wanted to have it on the tip of my tongue, and I wanted to share it with other people. And then as I learned more and more and read more and more, I understood the reason for having the Word of God in your mind and in your heart is to keep sin out. So don't complain when God asks you to do something or God provides you with something. Just ask him, Lord, why is that? Or not, but why? Nobody likes that. I'm sure God doesn't like it either. Bear in mind, we're made in God's image, and if we don't like it, you can be sure God doesn't like it either. Anyway, if anybody doesn't know, everybody knows John 3:16, don't they? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, John 3:14 has a reference back to these verses. And the Lord said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the whole point. It was to be an example of what Jesus would come to do thousands of years later. In the same way that Moses made the serpent, that any sinner, any complainer that was bitten by a serpent would look at it and live. Any sinner ever since Jesus, when they feel the bite of the consequences of sin or the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we can look to Jesus. And it costs the same. It cost Moses to do the work, and he was the go-between between God and man, but Jesus is the one mediator between God and man, and it cost him work. It cost him labor. It cost him tears. It cost him the shedding of his blood, but the cost to us is the same. All we have to do is turn. And do you know how many times in the Old Testament the Word of God says, turn yourselves and live? He said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. And that same sentiment is mentioned over and over. Look to Jesus. Instead of looking towards and going down the broad road that leads to hell, turn. Turn on to the straight and the narrow road. And it starts at the foot of the cross with repentance and faith in Christ, and it continues on in a life walk with Christ, keeping your eye on Christ, not just for eternity, but for every day of your lives. And I know just because you're saved, we're not perfect. Some people would like to think they are. And we're going to make mistakes as we go along life. When you do, look to Jesus and live. It's just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you can go out drinking and live. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can be out smoking and it not have consequences on you. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can keep bad company and whatever it is that makes that company bad not creep on to you an inch at a time. When you make a wrong decision, when you say the wrong thing, when you find yourself in the wrong place, the thing to do is to get out as quickly as possible. To stop as quickly as possible. To rectify your behavior as quickly as possible. Look to Jesus and live. In John 10, the Lord said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. It's more than just heaven with God. It's life right now with God. And that's there for any soul. Any soul. Even Hitler. He could have gotten saved. He could have had a glorious salvation experience and a glorious testimony of all his nutcase generals killing him for all of a sudden turning to Christianity, but that never happened. He died the death of Judas Iscariot, a coward and a suicide. We can all look to Jesus for salvation. Not all the other substitutes and all the other fakes that are out there. Jesus Christ. For direction, for purpose, for comfort, for power, for wisdom, right here and now. And whenever this life is over, and believe you me, it comes a lot quicker than you think. The Lord's promises are still good for you. And one verse that has been much in my mind for my whole life. Just even as I read the verse, I was reminded of a thought that went through my head when I was in grammar school. So I would have been maybe 14 or 15. And I remember wanting to be remembered, or wouldn't it be great to have a satellite of mine spinning in orbit around the earth for hundreds and thousands of years. I used to think that would be great. That would be like the icing on the cake of my life. I have since realized that that is not the case, and that things will only work out for the best and be the icing on the cake of a saved soul whenever you do things God's way. Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. So listen to God. And if God has a different direction for you to go, a different opportunity for you to take than the one the world, the flesh, and the devil, don't be afraid to turn your neck. The world will point their fingers at you and laugh at you. Whenever you go to your bed at night, it's only you and God. And for the endless ages of eternity, it'll be whatever covenant, if you like, you and God had together. For salvation and for obedience, it's the best way. It doesn't make you less of a person. I know in these so-called modern days, people don't like to be thought of as servants or as slaves. But many times in the New Testament, Paul referred to him as a slave of God, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the book of James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting. They realized that a servant of the King of Kings is greater than any king on the face of this world. And on that note, one of the things that many people don't realize is the life of a king is never one of glory and pomp and ease. It is one of service to the people that they are ruling over. Anyway, just wanted to leave that with you, that no matter what stage you are in your Christian life, even if your Christian life hasn't started, look to Christ for your eternity. And once you've got that sorted out, look to Christ for your right now. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And let's sing a song. Amen. Stand up for Jesus, is it? Or fight a good fight. Stand up for Jesus. 413 in the big books. Stand up for Jesus. Let's stand as we sing. Getting him a bit down. sure it's not going to be down physically as well as mentally, so please do pray for Pat and Steve. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time around your word. And I pray you, Lord, that you would remind us always to consider you in all things. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for giving your life on the cross for us, for paying for our sins. I thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the good sense to listen to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your word and for many answered prayers and helps as the days and weeks and months and years go on. We love you and praise you, Lord. We want more folks to be saved, especially in these last of the last days. And I pray that you would bless each and every one of us, Lord, as we go, that you would see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. And most importantly, Lord, for your will to be done. Please look after Pat and Steve especially. Pray for Frank too, and Colin as well. And Lord, again, we pray for your will to be done. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen.